Our text is drawn from St. Paul's words of greeting to the Christians of Galatia, as recorded in the opening three verses of the first chapter of that epistle. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the text. We are hearing more and more today about the professional nature of the ministry. James B. Glass authors a popular book entitled Profession Ministry. University Divinity Schools sponsor seminars with their law and medical counterparts and the challenges of being a professional in today's contemporary society. Those of you beginning your seminary study with us this summer are reminded constantly, perhaps, that you are now in a graduate professional institution. Those of you in the parish are returning to feel the summer ruled by the rubric of continuing professional education. And all of this study about the status as professionals, which we enjoy, and which is by and large quite proper, inevitably, of course, leads to the much more fundamental question, what makes a minister? What makes an apostle? What makes a professional minister? It is a query all of us might profitably ponder again this morning, whether we occupy the office of the Holy Ministry or aspire to it. What makes a minister an apostle, a professional? First of all, Paul says in our text, nothing which comes from men, not anything which comes from within a man. You see, no one ever becomes a minister by ability. God gives the ability. But by no ability in the world, by no measure of ability, whether we have 95 IQ or 195 IQ, are we going to be made ministers of Jesus Christ. Not by ability, although we had better use our ability to the full. Nor is it by work. That is men too. I had a professor of systematic theology who got up at 4:30 in the morning, was in his study by 5, and worked until 2 o'clock every afternoon, 6 days a week. And as we say in professionalist jargon, he went places. But I'm sure, in fact I know, that he never became a minister by hard work. To be sure, men should work. We had better work. And many of us do not work nearly hard enough. But no one is ever going to be a minister of Jesus Christ by work. Paul, an apostle, not as men. Nor can a person be a minister by personality. There are a lot of men who use their personality. They are good handshakers, they are good mixers at suburban cocktail parties, they are fabulous fundraisers, and they can get along pretty well in the parish. And again, we need a good personality. As a matter of fact, in his classical definition of preaching, Philip Brooks calls that exercise two personalities. But no one is ever going to be a preacher. No one is ever going to be a minister by means of his personality. Well, in the second place, if it is not by something that is within us that we are ministers, what is it by? Is it by other men? Not by those who educate you. You will find in this institution a faculty committed to giving young men a balance between theoretical knowledge, the historical knowledge and the practical knowledge they need to go out with a message for a world like this. But no one on this faculty is ever going to make you a minister. No one is ever going to become a minister by his education, nor by his position. The way pastors sometimes work to obtain a better position with a larger, more affluent parish, you would think they would be nearer the kingdom of God if they just had a better congregation. And the way it is often justified, of course, is that plaintiff pleads that we need a sounding board. You see, we have a voice, and the position we have is supposed to be a sounding board. And only if we could get that critical kind of parish and that critical suburban community, if we could only get that right kind of sounding board, then the message would spread and spread. Here your thing is that God does not need a sounding board. When the Holy Spirit speaks and asks, he creates his own sounding board. Jesus certainly did not have a sounding board coming from the dead and despised Nazareth. And we can go through scripture in even the most cursory fashion and see that many great men did not have sounding boards, and yet God spoke through them. No, not of men, not by men, but Paul finally announces by Jesus Christ. No one is ever a Christian minister who has not come to know the reality of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ and has not heard within his own life and his own spirit this call of God's concern, this call of God's reality to proclaim the gospel without which the world has no hope. An apostle by Jesus Christ, the declared love of God and the changing love of God, because this is a world that stands in need of forgiveness and cleansing. This is an age that needs to be forgiven, to have its whole subconscious cleansed and restored to the sanity which the gospel alone can give, and we know that we are right with God and right with one another. But our text continues, we are an apostle also by God the Father. There is a great danger today, it appears to me, of our getting involved in a Jesus cult mentality. A mere emotional association with Jesus that does not recall that the Son of God is seen in the life and reality of the Father of creation. And if there is anything that causes a shiver about the contemporary mania of American piety, it seems determined to slap the name Jesus on everything from a bumper sticker to a blue jeans hat, it is precisely that. As if the God of God, light of light, very God of very God, were but one more entrant in a crowded political primary election. Son is never to be understood merely in terms of a man. Fundamental thing about Jesus Christ is that God, he is God himself, come into history. Here God has spoken, here God has walked, here God has suffered, and here God has conquered for our sake. And therefore we must realize that in Jesus we meet the one who made the world, who called it into being from nothing. Like Parmenides, I am not so sure that a man can positively understand what nothing means. But by creation from nothing in our theological tradition, we understand that this world is not self-sufficient and cannot be explained in terms of itself or anything outside of itself. That outside and beyond, as well as within, reality is not merely a force. May we be protected from a Christian extrapolation of Star Wars cinematic theology. Rather, God is a person, a faithful Father, a personal spirit, a presence. A presence we can trust, a presence we can love, because he is truly God. And it is by his presence in your word that you are a minister. An apostle by God the Father, he, Paul concludes, raised Jesus from the dead. We are ministers not only by the presence of God, but by the power of God. And it is that power which makes you a minister. The kind of power which reigned at Calvary. The power of God present for it seemed to men that no God could possibly be. The power which transformed an instrument of death to an altar of our salvation. It transformed the act of man's consummate hatred to the vehicle of omnipotent love. So you see, it is all rather simple. Paul's word to you today is very simple. Throughout your entire professional life, remember that by which you are a minister. Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and God the Father, he raised him. Amen.